Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Relationships That Work, the Power of Conscious Living Show, an adventure in self-realization and conscious living. This is a place and time for spiritually based transformation through empowered communication, courageous introspection, and purposeful action. Integrate ancient wisdom into your daily life and relationships. Let's join our host, Dr. David Wolf.
Welcome to the Self-Hatove Institute Radio Hour. This is David Wolf. David Wolf, your host of the Self-Hatove Institute Radio Hour here in the Self-Hatove Studios in Alachua, Florida, with Marie Glashine at the controls. Welcome to the Self-Hatove Institute Radio Hour. The number to call to be on the show, 805-285-9749. We'll be glad to hear from you. And here, call in, get some coaching, get some live coaching on the spot, and benefit others by sharing your own coaching process. Welcome to the Self-Hatove Radio Hour. Well, Marie, I've been reflecting on last week's show, and I've been reflecting on the last year. It's just a little over a year that we've been hosting these radio programs. Yes, going back to mid-January, January 18th, 2010. Last week we spoke about expressing our emotions less. I kind of like it that way. And Marina called last week. Marina called, and she talked about Palestinians, and she talked about social work and social service programs, and we spoke about empowerment and how sometimes in the name of helping, we're actually disempowering. And in regard to different conflicts, whether it's Arab, Jew, Black, White, America, Chinese, that's where, Marie, that's where I'm reflecting on our very first radio show, the first Self-Hatove Radio Hour. And I remember that we began that radio hour. I began that radio hour by considering that the consciousness of, you know, Marie, even though you're a woman and I'm a man, we can still get along. Even though you're French and I'm American, even though you're French.
I have so many doubts about what you're speaking about, David.
Yeah, I'm going there. Even though you're French and I'm American, we can still get along. Yeah. So, yeah, even though this one is liberal and this one's conservative, still we can live in harmony, and this one's black or white. So you say you have so many doubts, and that was the whole point of that first show. We should have doubts, because it's a very weak platform for harmony and peace and all those good things. It's a very weak platform. So we should have doubts, because that whole way of thinking is based on illusion. You're a woman, I'm a man. You're tall, this one's short, black, white, Jewish, Christian. And so how can we get along? Arab, Jew, Croatian, Serbian. Do you think the Croatians and the Serbians can get along? And I'm not trying to minimize violent, painful, traumatic conflict. But just that whole way of thinking is based on illusion. What's the illusion? The illusion is that if I'm thinking I'm a man and you're a woman, then we're really not seeing each other for who we are. If I'm thinking, oh, here's a Croatian, here's a 6'2" white person, here's a black female. No. So that's illusion. And that where we stand here in the Self-Hatove environment, our approach to peace and self-realization, is that we're not the car, we're the driver of the car. It's an example we've used a few times, just like if I drive here in a Toyota And if I'm thinking I'm Japanese, that's illusion. And the next day I get into a Ford, I'm thinking now I'm American, that's illusion. Certainly the car, the vehicle, has its function, has its purpose. If I think I am the car, then I'm mistaken. And on the basis of illusion, it's kind of like if we're starting with the completely wrong numbers, then let's say there's a 10-step equation. Even if I follow the steps very well, but if I started with the wrong numbers, I started with a 4 rather than a 3, a 27 rather than a 29, I'm not going to get it. So if we're starting in this illusory conception, so just like we might think, well, that's ridiculous to think I'm American because I drive a Ford, or I'm German because I drive a Volkswagen. Similarly, that because this body, say, was born in America, so I think I'm an American. This body is male or black or white. So I'm black, I'm white, I'm male. No, that's not me. I'm the driver of the car. And those designations that refer to the body have no more to do with my essential eternal self than do the designations of I'm red because my car is red. All right, I'm a two-door. That's my identity. I'm a two-door. Do you think two-doors can get along with four-doors? Maybe if they have good communication skills. So that's what I was reflecting on in relation to our conversation last week. The caller, she brought up about the Mideast conflict and even other tensions between wealthy and not wealthy, things like that. So one thing, what we mentioned last week is to wither the root of the tree, to rise above duality. Materially based duality means that if my senses or my mind, my body or my extended body is pleased, then this is good. I vote for it. And if it's not pleased, then it's bad, and I vote against it. Right? So we can say, isn't it a glorious thing? I fight for my country. Is that good? Oh, yeah, that's good patriotism. So let's say if someone's born in Iran and they fight for Iran. Is that a good thing? Well, I guess many people in Iran would think it is, and people in countries who are allies with Iran. No, I fight for America. Okay, is that a good thing? But, well, there are some parts of the world who will think it's not a good thing you're doing by fighting for America. So why do I fight for America? Why America? Why not I fight for Paraguay? Because I was born in America. So it's all about me. It's really nothing objectively to do about the country. I mean, for some it could be. But it's like, well, I was born in this country. I was born in this is my family, my community. Now, family and community has its place in a healthy society, of course. At the same time, we're looking at distinguishing the self from illusory conceptions of the self based on the body. Illusory conceptions of the self based on the body. And to the extent that we can do that, to the extent that we're able to distinguish reality from illusion, starting with who we are, we're going to be effective to create all the good things, peace, satisfaction, fulfillment, empowerment. Because if I'm an illusion about who I am, then how effective am I going to be about bringing peace and happiness to others on the basis of my own illusion? Even before we talk about the divine or the supreme or God or all of that, well, who am I? Who am I? You're listening to the Sofitov Radio Hour, your station for self-realization. We invite you to call us here on the Sofitov Radio Hour. This is David Wolf, your host. Also, visit the Sofitov website. That's sofitov.com, sofitov.com. I'll spell it for you for those who are new to Sofitov. as in Stephen, A. T. Thomas, V. Victor, A. T. Thomas, O. V. Victor, E. Sattvatov.com.
So, David, it seems that good and bad is all relative. It's all relative for, you know, what's your point of view, what's your family, what's your country, and then, okay, so that, does that mean that, you know, in taking care of myself and making, you know, wanted personal growth, self-realization, and like, say, there is no such a thing as good and bad?
Thank you for your comment, Marie, and your challenging question. Be glad to hear from any of our callers. So, because we said to rise above duality. Like, oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, so there's no right, wrong. I'm paraphrasing Marie here. There's no right, wrong. There's no good, bad. There's, okay, so that it's, what is it? It's just, it's all the same. It's all one. I'd be glad to hear from any of our callers who want to share your perspective or maybe share some personal experience related to this conversation. And so, sure, if we talk about right, wrong, good, bad, and I do talk about that, I am not a solipsist, not a extreme subjectivist. Sure, there's right, wrong, good, bad, but what's the goal? Right? What's the goal? Right, wrong, and so what I'm encouraging us and our listeners to rise above is right, wrong, good, bad, based on bodily designations. That it pleases my senses, so it's good. It doesn't please my senses, so it's bad. Or it pleases my extended conception of body, so it's good automatically. My family, right or wrong, sort of thing. So what's the goal? Just like if I were to come to you, Marie, and I were to say, so if I go to the street corner, is it good if I turn left or bad if I turn right? What's good? What's bad? So it's like, well, it's not like left is good or bad or right is good or bad. It's all relative. At the same time, if I say my goal is to get to the nearest gas station as quick as possible, then you say, okay, here's the best guidance for you. At the street corner, make a left, and at the first driveway, make a right. And that's the best guidance. Because there's a goal by which we have a reference point. So yeah, if my goal is self-realization, say if my goal is love of God or self-realization, then there will tend to be some ways of being, some habits that are going to really get in the way of that. We might say in reference to the goal, they're bad. And there are some things, some ways of being, some ways of communicating, some habits that are going to really help me to efficiently achieve my goal. So in that sense, they're right or good in reference to my goal. Right? Just like, is going to the bar good or bad? Well, I'm not going to comment on whether it's good or bad. Everyone makes their own decisions. At the same time, we can, let's say if someone's goal is to become, to get a PhD, maybe to become a medical doctor or a lawyer, then probably spending 10 hours per day at the pub is not going to help them. It's not going to help them in that, probably. We might get some callers, no, I'm a heart surgeon, and I've been spending 10 days at the pub for the past 40 years, including my college. Could be, but, you know. Now, you know, again, if like my goal is to forget about my worries and have a good time with my friends while getting a little tipsy. Okay, so you might want to spend a few hours at the pub. So that's where there's the relative. And then the good, bad, the right, wrong, well, what's your goal? And so we talk about your station for self-realization. So if the goal is self-realization, then yeah, we're taught there are some principles that we can align with that are going to really be really supportive of that. And there are some principles that we can neglect, and we're going to find almost in every case that's going to interfere with my progressive journey of self-realization.
Thank you, David. So it's not so much that there is anything intrinsically bad or good or like that. It's not about judgment. It's not about judging. It's really about seeing what my goal is and aligning my choices with my goal. And then from that perspective of looking at my goal, then I can decide, yes, that's conducive and that will help me. And that doesn't seem that it will help me. Oh, that's really, really bad. It's not simply not helping me, but it's damaging my chance to achieve my goal.
Yeah, I feel understood. And, I think we're on the same page there. You're listening to the Sofitel Radio Hour. We invite you to call in. The number to call, 805-285-9749. If you call in and you want to participate in the show, dial 1, press 1, or write us on the Blog Talk Radio chat.
More recently, I had a discussion with a client. I was connected with that, and then the discussion was, okay, like, it said that, you know, like the material energy, the physical world, the world we evolve into is very much controlled by that idea of duality. You know, heat, cold, good, bad, right, wrong, all those things. And then to rise above the duality, my understanding is that we need to step out of the judgment. But how can I step out of the judgment and still keep my discrimination about, keep my discrimination and seeing things, seeing things and that are supportive of what I want, without judging them. It was like this client, he was telling me, if I don't judge myself, he had a goal, he wanted to do something. And he had a fear that, and internally he was like, ready to judge himself if he wasn't doing those things. You know, he wanted to rise early and, spend time reading spiritual books. And he was saying like, he was keeping himself on the leash because if he was to not do those things, he knows that he will criticize himself, say you're foolish, you're stupid, you should do it. So that was for him. It was kind of creating some kind of confidence that he will do his goal if he keeps a judgment with it. And then I was discussing with him, and I was really looking at that. Is it really our judgment that keep us aligned with our goal, or is there another way to keep ourselves aligned with our goal?
Thanks for your coaching comments there. Y'all just heard from Marie Glashine, a seasoned Sotvatov coach and manager of Sotvatov Institute, seminar facilitator, very experienced coach. Yes. I think, in fact, I know, a lot of us tend to be that way with ourselves. A lot of us tend to be kind of like, I'm just sort of like harsh and threat of punishment. That's how I motivate myself. But then, let's say someone else would come to us, and that's what you like. Coaching clients come to you. Yeah. Well, what's the best way to change? It's sort of like spiritual life, human life is meant to be joyful. And so what's another possibility? It's just like, let's say you see something about me, you got some feedback from me about how I can change and become a better person. Okay. And And if the mood and the spirit I get from you is, David, you're such a stupid idiot. You're useless. You are not okay as you are. And no, I do not love you. I do not like you as you are. But if you change, okay, if you change, well, that could motivate me. It could motivate me. With the motivation might be accompanied by maybe resentment, anger, bitterness, low self-esteem, all that stuff. Right? That I'm defective as I am. And if I don't change, you're going to be angry with me. You're going to be harsh. Whereas let's say the mood I get from you is like you really appreciate me as a person, as I am. And you accept me as I am. And you love me unconditionally. And you also have some inspiration about how I can enrich my life and strengthen my character even more. Probably I'm going to be more open to seriously consider what you have to say. And if I do go forward with it, I might own it more. The whole process might be a lot more joyful. So for this client who you talked about, who represents so many of us, that, okay, he could change or not change. But where does all of this harsh judgment, how does that help? How does that help? You know, if he could stop smoking cigarettes or start doing his meditation, he could do it or not do it. But let's say he gives up the bad habits and starts doing the healthy habits, all of that. Well, why not do it? And instead of being a military sergeant, he can be in an encouraging, nurturing, appreciative spirit.
Well, that's the question I ask my clients, and his answer was because he didn't believe, he didn't trust that if he was loving and inspiring spirit, he will do those things.
Okay. So what's the problem? I mean, is he satisfied? Is he satisfied with what's happening for him and his consciousness and his way of being and his way of effecting change in his life? Does he have a problem with it? You know, like maybe he prefers the military sergeant and that works for him. And he's like, yeah, that's me. That's how I get going. And so I'm not arguing with him. Is there a problem?
Yes. Yes, for him, there was a problem. The problem is that he was still resisting those things. And the other problem is that there was a tent inside of him, there was a tent of have to, like being forced, being obliged to do those things. And in reality...
You better do this.
Yeah.
And you should do this. You better do this, yes.
And in reality... All those things were things that he enjoyed, things that he likes doing, things that he derived pleasure or, you know, short-term and long-term pleasure.
Okay. So the problem is that, like, he's not enjoying life a lot. He's feeling burdened, even if he's doing the things, even if he's making those changes. But it's feeling like pressure and stress and maybe, yeah, just like if someone else tells us, you should do this, you should do that, how do we tend to respond? How do we tend to react? We'll tend to rebel or defy. So similarly with our own mind, if our own mind is, you should do that, you better do that, then even if we do it, it might be accompanied by shame, guilt, resentment, rather than, say, joy, inspiration, confidence. And so it sounds like for your client who represents maybe such a significant percentage of the population, that it's a retraining process. It's a retraining process. It's a process of self-awareness. So let's say whatever his habit is, to do his meditation, to stop eating so many sweets, to give up cigarettes, to be more gentle with his spouse, whatever it is, to watch less TV. So then in coaching he can practice making the changes he wants to make while being more aware of the conversation, that conversation with himself, and to make an attempt. Okay, I'm going to change that conversation, as challenging and stretchy as that might be, because it seems like I don't know any other conversation with myself. But I'm going to change that conversation, and let's just see. I'm going to change that conversation and be motivated to make these healthy changes. And let's see if that's possible. And let's say he fails and he doesn't do it. Well, that's a great coaching session. Okay, what happened? You changed the conversation. And then what happened? You became complacent. He gets to be self-aware, because it doesn't need to be this or that. Either you're an army sergeant, or you live a complacent life like a couch potato and you're not productive. Or let's open up to, rather than this or that, perhaps it could be this and that. That you can be gentle, nurturing, inspirational with yourself, and continue to create a life of extraordinary, fulfilling accomplishment. And he's like, no, it's one or the other. It's one or the other. It's okay. Well, let's be open. Are you open that it could be this and that? And then let's go forward with that. That's the process of self-awareness. The process of coaching, although I'm a little hesitant to use, because there's so much going on in the name of coaching, which really does not describe what we do in Safetot, but it's the process of Safetot coaching, self-awareness. What's my conversation with myself? Things go from subtle to gross, starting with my conversation with myself. Yet I'm going to have to flagellate myself. I'm going to have to whip myself to change this. Okay, you know, whether we believe we can or can't, we're right. So, yeah. So your client gets to open up his horizons and see what's possible, creating a gentler, warmer conversation with himself, which is no less or even more inspirational in terms of achieving goals and establishing healthy habits.
Thank you, David. I don't remember how we came from, you know, developing healthy habits and communication with ourselves from the theme of today's, you know, presentation about the stepping out of duality, stepping out of duality while really knowing what will serve our goals, basically, what will really support our goal. And about that client, an interesting thing that came out of that session is that he was really discovering that voice that was harsh and rough of you should do that, and if you don't do it, you know, all the consequences. It was a loving voice. Like, it was coming from a place of caring and love. However, that care and love was manifesting in a way that was harsh and that was leaving the client in a place of, like, feeling inadequate, feeling not capable. And that I found that interesting, because often we trace those kind of internal dialogue to what was going on in our childhood with people, the main important people in our childhood, maybe our teacher, our parents, and those dialogue, often they were coming from a loving place, but the communication wasn't communicating that love and care. Communication was often coming and received as disempowering and maybe judgment and criticism.
Yeah, just like, let's say there's a parent who is disciplining with harshness or meanness and anger. So we know that can be damaging, that can be destructive for the child. At the same time, in many, if not most cases, we can say, actually, behind the harshness and anger, there's a worry, there's an anxiety. Behind that, there's actually a love. There's actually a real caring. Now, it's not being expressed in the healthiest way. It might even be being expressed in a very toxic way. Still, so in your coaching, the client was seeing that actually that harsh voice is, it's a part of me that does care about myself. And so it's sort of like noticing and appreciating the essence of that part and giving it some communication training. Right? giving it some communication training.
Taking that part of ourselves and taking it to a transformative communication seminar of Sadvaitova Institute.
Precisely. You're listening to the Sofitove Radio Hour. This is David Wolf, your host here in the Sofitove Studios. And Sunday, sunny, a little bit windy, Alachua, Florida, here with Marie Glashine. And we encourage you to visit the Sofitove website. On the Sofitove website, in the library section, you'll see a radio subsection. And we have the links to dozens of previous radio shows. We were just reflecting, if you're with us from the beginning of today's show, we're just about 1 year into our radio shows. We began in mid-January 2010. Welcome to the Sofitove Radio Hour. Beginning next week, February 2nd, we're going to do half-hour shows. Sofitove Radio Hour will be half-hour next week, February 2nd. That's next week, beginning at 1 p.m., U.S. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. We invite you to call into the show. We'd love to hear from you and to hear what are your issues, what are your challenges. It's a chance to get some live, life-changing coaching. We are not exaggerating when we say that. It's your chance to get some live, life-changing coaching. Call in, get some coaching on any life area. Maybe an area where you're feeling enlivened and you want some coaching to achieve goals with more clarity. Or maybe it's an area where you feel stuck or blocked. Maybe relationships or health or a career decision or something about your spiritual practice or maybe something philosophically that is gnawing at you. We invite you to call in with your comments, questions, challenges, appreciation. You're listening to the Sofitove Radio Hour, your station for self-realization. So, judgment's a function of intelligence. We are not like criticizing, oh, don't judge. Most of the time, what I find is like when people are really in jail, don't judge. It's basically, I don't want to be judged. I don't want to have to measure up to any standard. And so they go into a whole campaign of how it's so terrible to judge. So we're not against judging. Now, where judging can be, let's say, life alienating rather than life enriching. Because it's a function of, like, if you show me someone who never makes any judgments, is it that, oh, you'll find such a spiritually peaceful person? No. If we find that person who makes no judgments, we're looking at a fool. Because judgment is a function. Judgment's a function of intelligence. Doubt is a function of intelligence. Judgment, to make differentiation and discriminations. This is going to help me, it's not going to help me. And then where it can get in the way is if we're not playful about our judgments, that we're not willing to suspend our judgments. Let's say I have a judgment about someone. So if I go into the interaction and I'm thinking, I'm such a non-judgmental person, but actually I got all sorts, this person is so lazy, this person's not very smart at all, this person is so bossy. So if I'm going into the interaction, and I'm thinking, I have no judgments, then not only am I being judgmental, I'm lying to myself. I'm being self-deceptive, and I have judgments. So I don't see a goal as even to not be judgmental. A goal is that we acknowledge our judgments, and as we progress in self-realization, as we progress spiritually, we're more and more willing to suspend our judgments. That, yeah, I have this judgment about this situation and that person and that group, and I'm willing to suspend that judgment in order to have a fresh, clear, clean experience of this person and this event and this interaction. And that experience might confirm my judgment. Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. Or I suspend my judgment, I have a fresh, clear, clean, open, present experience, and I might find this person is like so different than I had judged. And this was so eye-opening, so exciting to discover that. And I was open to discover it because I was willing to suspend my judgments. It's not that the judgments are good or bad. It's that the judgments, they're a function of intelligence. What do we do with them? Are we using our judgment to create closeness and understanding and to enhance our experience of spirit and life? Or are we using our judgments as a barrier to prevent us from aliveness and presence? What are we doing with our judgments?
Nice. And I can see how it all connects with the topics of duality. Duality. Yeah, am I judging my judgments? Or am I using my judgments to discriminate and to sort things out and while staying fully vulnerable and open to see a different perspective?
Nicely put. Yes. You're listening to the Soft Job Radio Hour. We invite you to call into the show or write in on the blog talk chat. Yes. You're listening to the Soft Job Radio Hour. So we've spoken about judgments and duality, right? Because we want to embrace duality on the spiritual platform. What's that mean? So, yeah, we want to rise above duality on the material platform, which is the meaning like, yeah, that, okay, this nationality is good and this gender is better than that gender. And then, see, that stuff all revolves around me. Because even if I think that, oh no, people who are of a different race or nationality or gender than me, they're actually better. And that just gets into because I feel guilty that I'm this way and because maybe I'm privileged. So it's just do it better or worse based on the material platform. Now when I say duality, so we want to rise above duality on the material platform that's just based on me, either in a narrow sense of like, you know, I like this, so it's good, this gets in my way, it's bad, let's kill it. Or in an extended way, this is good for my extended body, so let's accept it, it's bad, let's kill it. So we're going to rise above that, but it's not about, yes, it's all one. We already addressed that in healthy process of self-realization. Sure, there's judgment, and there's differentiation and discrimination. That's a function of intelligence. And when I say embrace spiritual duality, I mean that in our realized state, it's not that like I become you and you become me. That we are eternal persons. There's a saying I like from the Bhagavad Gita, which is a book from the ancient Vedic literatures from thousands of years ago, and the saying is, never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. Now, where do these kings get into the conversation? Bhagavad Gita is spoken on a battlefield. Right before a battle. It's quite a dramatic moment there. And so it's not that we continue to exist and we merge into light and I lose my identity and you lose your identity. No, we have our eternal personalities. Personalities means on the spiritual platform, in spiritual relations, there are things that we are naturally attracted to and things we're less attracted to. And so you might say on the spiritual platform, we're one in the sense that we're connected in intention and desire in service to life and the divine and God. And at the same time, we retain our separate identities. What do we have, Marie?
We have a caller online. Caller, area code 908. You're on the show now. If you can state your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, it's Marina.
Hello, Marina. We were just talking
calling
about
from you. Jersey. I'm here with
Hello,
my
Marina.
Friend Scott. He's visiting me from Maryland, and we're sitting on this snow-filled day. I don't have class. It's been canceled due to the weather.
Oh, wow. Must be some serious snow there.
Oh, yeah, it's been snowing since morning.
Hello, Scott.
So I just wanted to find out whether we can turn the conversation to a more practical level.
What's your question?
Because I know
what's
a lot
your,
of
what's
people.
Your topic?
My topic is job searching because that's what my friend Scott is dealing with, and I'm sure a lot of people in this economy are dealing with. And I'm wondering if you could talk a little about kind of the spiritual side of manifesting, you know, something like a job that someone wants, you know, because oftentimes people, including Scott, they take a lot of action, they make a lot of phone calls, they put their resume out there, they really do a lot. But as you know, in the be, do, have model, doing is not where it starts. So maybe we could discuss this from a be, do, have perspective.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you, Marina from New Jersey and Scott from Maryland. I guess in hearing you express, Marina, the question that comes to mind is to Scott, how come you want a job?
You're asking Scott this?
Well, yeah. I mean, you spoke on Scott's behalf. And so
yes, he's
assuming
too shy to speak.
Okay. Well,
his answer is to make a living. He's a massage therapist part-time, but it's not making ends meet. So.
Well, I appreciate that you mentioned this paradigm of life called be, do, have. And be, do, have, you know, it really gets to that question, well, why do you want a job? And, I guess, you know, if we want to go to be, do, have, which is where we endeavor to live in the Sofitov environment, I would go to, because the whole doing about resumes and applications and interviews, I mean, that's there and that's doing. But the being part, it really gets to, okay, to make a living. So then my question would be, what would you do if you had $1 billion in the bank?
Okay, Maria put me on this with Scott. If I had $1 billion, I would. I wouldn't have to worry about work. I would build myself a big house. Not sure where. I'd make sure that my family was well taken care of. I would give a lot of that money to my parents and a lot of it to my brother and sister-in-law, so they were taken care of, and maybe some other members of my family. And I'd probably spend my life learning about things that interest me and doing volunteer work, and probably give a lot of money away to charities that do the sort of works in which I am interested.
I see. You'd help people, you make sure you have a comfortable living space and that your family is well taken care of. And thank you for sharing, Scott. And you mentioned, you would learn things that interest you. What might be some of those things?
Learn more about Judaism and Torah and healthy living, veganism and raw foodism, and do volunteer work. I especially like animals. I do volunteer work for animal shelters and probably give some of that money away to animal shelters.
Okay. All right. So you have a natural compassionate heart. It sounds like even in your eating habits, you don't want to do violence unnecessarily. And you would maybe spend time in Torah study and Talmudic study, maybe some Kabbalah. This is inspiring for you. This is intriguing for you.
Right.
Okay. All right. And I understand you're in a job search. You do some massage therapy. My sense from Marina is the massage therapy is somewhat, at least somewhat satisfying for you, although it's not financially lucrative enough. I understand that. And, yeah, you know, there's a saying by Confucius, if you love what you do, you'll never have to work. And so, in Sofitov, a lot of our coaching is about bringing people to the point where they don't work. Now, by that, I'm not advocating laziness or complacency or being a couch potato or just indulging in a frivolous life, not at all. That when I say love what you do, you never have to work, that you know, we're giving full effort, full 100% intense effort with a sense of urgency in our life. And that effort is directed towards full contribution, a life of meaning, a life of purpose. And because it's so satisfying, it's not feeling like work. And so that's just one thing that came to mind when I heard Marina and yourself speak, that I guess my encouragement for you, Scott, without being impractical, and I understand you got resumes and interviews and there's that whole world, and we can coach about that too. And we do a lot of coaching about that. Maybe we'll even do some here. And that while you're looking at different job possibilities and checking the websites for employment openings and things like that, that also to kind of cultivate clarity of what really inspires you. That's why I asked the billion-dollar question, that if money weren't an issue, how would you love to use your life? And that clarity about that, like, and then just to be open to explore, courageous to explore how you could create that. And again, I'm not saying to like just change your life overnight and to be impractical. At the same time, you know, I kind of trust, Scott, that you have you have within you the empowerment, the courage, the successful spirit to manifest, to create, emerge, unfold a life where 24 hours a day you're doing something that comes from a place that's inspired from the core of your being. And that's just as a meta view to this conversation, that's just something I wanted to express.
Okay, well, thank you for that. I appreciate that.
Okay. Thank you, Scott. And now what's the problem here? Is it that you can't find jobs you want to apply for? You're applying for jobs, you're not getting interviews, you're getting interviews and you're getting rejected. What's happening?
It's a myriad of different things. People not getting back to me, people with more experience than myself. It's just a whole myriad of things. The car business. I'm actually in the car business, mm-hmm. and I'm looking for a rather specific job in the car business. And of course, the car business is not right now what it was a few years
right.
ago.
Sure.
So it's a combination of people not getting back to me and the people with more experience applying for the jobs that are available.
Okay. So you're getting kind of discouraged? It's been going on a few weeks. You're getting kind of discouraged?
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, you just have to shake that off and not let it affect you, because if it does affect you, then you just descend into an abyss. You just you can't let it happen to you. If it does affect you, then you just have to, you know, step back and, you know, reevaluate what you're doing and maybe do something a little bit differently.
Okay, so yeah, maybe you are getting discouraged, disappointed. At the same time, you're not letting that get in the way. You're not letting yourself wallow in that or indulge in, oh, things are so terrible and no one will, because then it'll just become a downward spiral. So you're maybe noticing the discouragement, maybe some despondency. At the same time, you're continuing on with some enthusiasm.
Right, you have to.
Okay, and Scott, I'm wondering, let's say, okay, what are three things you could do in the next week that you're not doing now that would improve your chance of landing a job that's reasonably satisfying?
Maybe spend more time going out and seeing potential employers face-to-face. Not sure what else it is that I'm not doing.
Okay, so let's take that one. So you've been mostly like internet and maybe phone. So you're thinking if you really get out there, because, you know, it is said in business and especially like sales, when you say you're in cars, you mean like you're a salesman. Is that what you do?
No, service advisor. I work in the service department.
Service advisor, okay. So you think that if you actually met the supervisors, you're actually there on the spot, even though it takes more time than just doing things by internet and phone, you think it could make a difference, that personal connection could make a difference. That's what you're thinking.
No, I'm actually going out and seeing people in person. Maybe I'm just not going out and seeing enough people in person.
Okay. All right. Okay. How ardent is your desire to get a job in this field?
Well, I've done it before. I enjoy doing it very much. The money is good, and it's what I want to do.
Okay. I guess what's the minimum number of in-person contacts you're going to make in the next week, say by February 2nd? What's the minimum number you're committed to make towards your job search in this area?
I would say 5.
So you're saying you'll do at least 5 in-person contacts at a minimum between now and next Wednesday?
Right.
How many did you do in the last week?
Really none, because I've been kind of nurturing contacts I made about 2 weeks ago. Calling people back and emailing people, and mm-hmm. people just saying, "Oh, I'll get back to you." So I've been kind of nurturing some contacts I've previously made.
Okay, so you'll go from 0, and the 0 was because you were engaged in other ways, to at least 5 in the next week.
Mm-hmm.
And how's that feel for you, Scott, to know that you're going to make at least 5 in-person contacts in your job search in the next week?
Well, it feels good to set goals. It feels better to achieve them.
Okay. What obstacles do you see might get in the way of seeing at least 5 people?
The weather.
Okay, so it's possible that you'll let the weather get in the way of achieving this goal.
Well, it's possible. I mean, the weather has not been kind right now, and people are sometimes hard to see because they're busy or because they might be out and they might be otherwise engaged with their employees or with customers.
I'm hearing that, yeah, I mean, life happens, circumstances happen. And I guess this is an opportunity, Scott, for you to connect with, let's say, an internal empowerment where you could, if you want, you could make a determination that nothing's going to get in the way of achieving this goal. And just by doing that, whether those 5 contacts lead to a job or not, just by doing that, my sense is that you're going to come alive. You're going to come alive more than you are now. Because here's the thing, like, and I understand if there's blizzards up in the Northeast and weather and cold and snow and all that. At the same time, if you're going to let weather get in the way of achieving what you want in life, then my concern is you're going to let so many things stop you one after the other, whether it's about job, finances, relationship, spiritual life, intellectual development, that if you're going to allow weather to get in the way, and I'm not minimizing the influence of weather, at the same time, I know that you're powerful enough to set this goal and make it happen, come hell or high water. And if you take a stand in that, and you do that, and you're capable, then I think that will be an important reference point for you in your life. Because again, you know, if you're going to let weather or other stuff get in the way of this goal, then when you set goals in the future, you might not believe yourself so strongly.
Okay, well, I appreciate the input. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you for participating in the Sofitov Radio Hour. I appreciate your courage and vulnerability to share. Maybe prodded a bit in the back by Marina there. I don't know, but I thank you, Scott and Marina, for coming on to the show and sharing yourselves personally.
Scott has been rolling his eyes at me the whole entire time.
Okay. All right. So
I trust that this was the right move.
Okay. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Trust. Good, Marina. Yeah. You be in trust there, and maybe. Maybe you can do some relationship dialogue after the show.
I don't know about that.
Thank you, Marina.
I believe that everyone, including Scott, could use some Sofitov coaching.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Marina. Thank you, and thank you for being trusting, because you came on with the show and with Scott. And you didn't know where this was going to go or what was going to happen, so that required you to be trusting. So thank you, Marina, and thank you, Scott, for being willing to be vulnerable and to share yourself. Thank you both.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Sofitov Radio Hour at the Sofitov Institute Radio Hour. This is David Wolf, your host. Again, next week, 1 o'clock Eastern Time. Next week, we'll be doing a 30-minute show, a half-hour show, on Wednesday, February 2nd. It'll be a 30-minute show. Thank you for listening to the Sofitov Radio Hour. This is David Wolf, your host. We call this your station for self-realization, and that could sound... Yeah, that can sound like some sort of slogan or motto or something. But we mean that quite seriously. I really believe there's no other radio show where you'll get more insight and perspective and inspiration towards self-realization. And that's why we call it your station for self-realization. Some of our themes today have been personal empowerment, and living from, we didn't talk much about be, do, have, but living from inspiration, I mean, inspired from our being. That it's not that, I'll feel secure if I'm just doing that and I have that job and I have that income and I have that bank account, then I'll feel secure and powerful and peaceful. No, that's have, do, be. Be, do, have is I am a secure, peaceful, and powerful and fulfilled. I'm a secure, peaceful, powerful, fulfilled person. So naturally, I'm going to do things that secure, peaceful, happy people do, and I'm going to have the things that secure, peaceful, happy people have, like satisfying relationships, abundance flowing in my life, fulfilling engagement. So that to experience security, power, happiness is not dependent on any doing or having. I am those qualities. I am radiant, giving, compassionate, loving, secure, peaceful, and my doing and having are empowered from that platform. That's be, do, have. Thank you for listening to the Sofitov Institute Radio Hour. This is David Wolf, your host. Sofitov Radio Hour, your station for self-realization.